leave. Our next presenter will be Dr. Angela Post, who is at North Carolina State but has some Oklahoma State colors on the slide, so I assume there's some history.
So we will continue on with the Southern Great Plains canola production here. Like you said, I'm now the small grain specialist at North Carolina State University, just recently moved back in March. And prior to that, I was about 3 years at Oklahoma State University working in this same system that that Blake has already described to you. And I brought my water up here because the next two talks are me, so you have to listen to me for a long period of time, but I might need to wet the whistle here and there. So first I'm going to present some work that one of my recent master's students finished up last summer, looking at controlling overwintering capacity of winter canola with plant growth regulators and using those to manage fall growth. So just a little bit more background. Oklahoma as a state ranks second nationally most years in canola production, winter canola production in particular down there. That doesn't mean a whole lot when you look at the giant number of acres that the Dakotas produce compared to our meager acres of about 50,000 hectares in 2015. And we have average yields of around 1,250 kilograms per hectare, according to the U.S. Canola Association and as confirmed also with USDA. This was originally a crop introduced as a weed control tool. It was meant to clean up weedy wheat fields that had ALS-resistant grasses, particularly Italian ryegrass. And mainly the issue was we were getting decreased values of or decreased quality of wheat in our state and decreased yields. And we've seen that even after a single year of rotation with winter canola, we can improve those yields by removing those grassy competitors. But the problem we have is that particularly in a year where we don't see heavy freezes in the fall, we can get too much top growth depending on the date of planting. And if we get a lot of top growth, just like when you have really small plants with canola, if you have really big plants, you have greater susceptibility to winter kill, and you can also see premature bolting in the fall because some of those varieties don't have sensitivity to photoperiod. So if they get enough growing time in the fall, they'll initiate those flower buds ahead of schedule. The typical planting window is September 10 to October 10, and I think it's still currently the case that you cannot get crop insurance on this crop if you're planting outside of that window. So typically those times in Oklahoma are going to be dry and warm, and so we can have issues getting stand, and you just heard about issues with tillage versus no-till. So plant growth regulators. These are going to influence the overwintering capabilities of canola. We typically use some fungicide applications. A lot of times growers are using those in the spring, but if we use them in the fall, we can also impact biometric parameters. Metconazole, paclobutazole, and tebuconazole have all been shown to reduce leaf weight per plant when applied in the fall and also to increase the freezing tolerance of this plant. So using a fungicide for a plant growth regulator effects is one of the targets of this research. So these are our field experiments that were designed to evaluate the biological effects of those plant growth regulators on winter canola in Oklahoma and to look at those plant growth regulators paired with different planting dates. And the goal being to widen that planting window. September 10 to October 10 is a very short time for growers to try and get something in, particularly when you have to calculate weather into that scenario. And if you can only plant with crop insurance in that window, it makes things really challenging. So if we can back that up a little bit, manage our fall growth with plant growth regulators, then we have maybe a six-week window instead of a four-week window. This was a strip block design, a full factorial treatment structure with four replications, factor one being five planting dates and factor two being nine different treatments. We started planting on August 25th and recurred each week for 5 weeks. And this was planted for the 2015 growing season or harvest season in five sites across Oklahoma. These are our planting dates. They started again on August 25th and go through September 28th. So we backed up 2 weeks ahead of the normal planting window and stayed well within that planting window of October 10 being the end. The treatments are listed there as well. We had non-treated, several different plant growth regulators, tebuconazole 2 rates, mepaquat 2 rates, mepaquat pentaborate for hexadione calcium, metconazole. All the ones shaded there in green are meant to inhibit top growth in the fall. We also wanted to look at a comparison of a product that's available to improve canola growth, so to stimulate growth, particularly because we had some late planting dates. We wanted to see, are there opportunities for the different types of plant growth regulators in this system? So that one down there at the bottom is one that's meant to improve canola top growth. This is just a different way to look at those planting dates. So we have basically our season is the green bar. All of our black lines are planting dates. All of our white lines are the application timing for those products. And the blue box is our planting window. And I'll show you this here because at the end of the presentation, I'll show you the identified places where we can really make an effect on this crop. I also wanted to give you a little bit of background of what the season looked like rain-wise. So here are four of our sites, Lake Carl Black Whale, Chickasha, Lamont, and Perkins. And on the bottom, you can see in red our five planting dates. So 1, 2, and 3, you can see we're, or 1 and 2 in particular, were planted when it was very dry and we didn't have a lot of moisture to get that crop out of the ground. 3, 4, and 5 tended to have a little bit more moisture in the ground to get those at all sites, essentially. So keep that in mind as we look at this data. We collected biomass 4 weeks after planting. And in that case, we went out and collected 3 random plants from every single plot and did fresh and dry weights. We did plant height at 4 weeks after treatment, so that's after the plant growth regulator has been applied, stand counts, and also yield protein and oil content at the end of the season. So winter canola biomass as affected by planting date. So this is 4 weeks after treatment, and we can see this basically goes down as you would expect it to with planting date. The earliest planting dates have the highest biomass, and the latest planting dates have the lowest biomass, and this was not affected for the most part, depending on what treatment you put out there. We've seen those earliest plantings had the highest biomass no matter what treatment you put on, and the same goes for the later treatments. This is what it looks like in the field about 4 weeks after the first planting date, A. And so that A is in this slide is where you would see the timing of that 4 weeks after treatment harvest. So this was very intensive because we're going out to every single one of these sites every single week to make those applications and to make those biomass collections. So talking about growing degree days, it typically takes about 1,400 growing degree days for canola to initiate flower buds. In the year of this study, which was 15-16, we accumulated between 837 and almost 1,500 growing degree day units at those sites for each of those planting dates. We did not see floral initiation visually for that first planting date, but you can see with the number that we accumulated that that certainly could have been the case because we've reached the intended time. But this was basically meant to show you how warm of a winter we had. This study would have been much nicer in a very, very cold winter situation, which we did have in the previous year. I mean, we'll show an image, I guess, from Mike Stom's program showing his dead canola in 2014 because of that lovely freezing winter we had. I'm sure you want to forget that instead of review it, right? Winter canola height as affected by planting date. So this is where the moisture levels come in. So we had decent moisture for planting that first planting date. Planting dates 2 and 3, you can see their height was severely affected by dry conditions at all sites. This is across all sites. And then planting dates 4 and 5, again, we had moisture to get those plants up and growing. And then, as I said before, height as affected by treatment, we really don't see a lot of differences. We've identified one place where we had height and biomass affected by the treatment, and that was the Caramba treatment, particularly at planting date C, but we did see that carry through across all planting dates. So significantly decreased height at that metconazole treatment. And I'm going to show you that here. So metconazole is going to remain on the right side of your screen, and we're going to show several treatments on the other side. So non-treated is there, and that's what you're seeing, what we accumulate for planting date 3. So that's right square in the middle of the window. Then you see tebuconazole, really no difference between it and the non-treated, but we have metconazole, which has a much smaller accumulation of biomass, and then the chitin plus GA plus IBA treatment, which is meant to stimulate growth, and you can see it looks even a little more vigorous than the non-treated. So now let's take a look at stand count as affected by planting date. And we can see stand counts were actually very low on planting dates 1, 2, and 3. Again, this is a reflection of the limited moisture that was available there, and then better stand counts at the 4 and 5 planting dates, September 22nd and September 28th. It's also a factor of cooler soil temperatures as you get to later in the fall. Canola really does not like hot soil temperatures for germination. And then I've got a couple of slides just showing what these sites looked like in December as they were going into winter, and in February as we would be thinking about top dressing and coming out. This is not really what we want it to look like, right? We want that canola in December to really be melted down pretty well, and we want the farmers to be calling us and screaming, "What's wrong with my crop? You know, it's brown and looks awful." We really had a very warm winter, and so it wasn't the most excellent conditions for testing this research. And then here's the Perkins site. It looks a little bit better. We got some purpling on those leaves, but we still aren't melted way down. And then you look in at February, you're still seeing a lot of green tissue out there instead of seeing it looking pretty rough. We also don't want it to look like this. This is completely dead canola. We had a lot of sites in 2014, the previous year, where we had severe winter freezes that killed a lot of canola. So something in between would have been a good test for these products. So let's take it all the way to yield. As affected by planting date, we did not see yield differences as affected by plant growth regulator treatment, so I'm only going to be presenting yield as a response to planting date, and this is across all sites. So we had pretty good yields across the board between about 2,150 kilograms per hectare all the way up to over 2,500 kilograms per hectare. Planting dates 3, 4, and 5 had the best yields, and all three of those are essentially inside the window. September 8th, I guess we can say, is outside the window, but planting at 5 planting dates, you've got to split the difference somewhere and start a little bit earlier. So 3, 4, and 5 we would consider inside the window, and you can see lower yields for those two that were planted earlier in the year. Now let's look at protein content. There was a big cost to protein content in that early part of the planting windows that we put out. So planting dates from August 25th to September 8th, big problems with protein accumulation. However, we did see huge improvements in oil content for those two planting dates, particularly planting date 1 and planting date 2. Unfortunately, this is not enough to get the grower what he needs. That first one, August 25th, that 44 and change, is just barely getting into the area where you might see a premium depending on where you're delivering. And I don't know what they've changed those numbers to, but it's not enough to get you enough money with that lower yield to make up for the cost of having planted that early. Much lower oil contents for the later planting dates, 3, 4, and 5. However, they are well within the range of what is acceptable for canola being delivered in our region. So now, let's look back at those application, the structure. So again, the blue window is our planting window. The black lines are the planting dates we put out, and the white lines are the treatment dates. So the two things that we identified that would make sense for growers are a caramba application if you're planting squarely in the window. Particularly, the later part of the window is where we've seen this caramba application making an effect. This did visually decrease the height of the plants and the biomass that was accumulating there, and so it was able to kind of melt down a little better in the winter without having freeze issues. It's also a labeled fungicide for canola and a labeled timing for this fungicide in canola, and we used it well within labeled rates. So it's an allowable application and can give you also some fall protection from infection with blackleg. Then we have an Ascend application. This Ascend product is the growth inhibitor. I mean, the growth promoter, right? So that's the one that caused increases in growth. And this one did best for us when applied late, in this case, even outside of the window. So if you have to plant really far into the planting window, it would be a good opportunity to put on this product. It is also a labeled and allowable product as a plant growth regulator in canola. And so this is an opportunity. If rain keeps you out of the field and you've got to plant October 8th, then you can go in there as that plant comes up and put on this product in order to improve your growth prior to the first freezes. So biomass decreased with every planting date, just like we would expect. Plant height was the shortest at planting date 3. Part of that was due to limited moisture at those two planting dates 2 and 3. Metconazole, which is your Caramba, is the only treatment that caused a measurable growth response compared to the non-treated. And winter canola yield increased when planted after your September 1st date. So those first two planting dates did have a yield cost. We did not identify a PGR by planting date combination that would really allow us an earlier or wider window for canola planting, as our goal was for this work. And then I've already given you the information about the last 2 points there in those previous couple of slides. With that, I would like to thank all of the folks that were involved in this, committee members, Dr. Murray, Dr. Edwards, and Dr. Shuknik for Katie McCauley, a grower who allowed us full use of his farm, and several research stations, as well as lots of folks in my program there at Oklahoma. And with that, I'll take any questions on this one. Yes?
May I know the variety you grew for the winter canola?
So the variety I presented here today was DKW 4410. That's a Roundup Ready variety. And we also did this work with the conventional variety Riley. There were not differences between the two varieties that we used, but they were in separate studies. Yes?
Yeah, I'm from the cold part. I'm from Thunder Bay, Ontario. We did succeed a little bit, you know, maybe 50% chance of succeeding in winter canola cultivation, but not always. And the major challenge is protecting the spring because freezing temperatures still, it will survive in the winter. And I'm wondering if there's anything that can protect the crop in the spring.
So the question is there that they have issues where he is from about protecting that crop in the spring from late spring freezes? This study did not evaluate that, but it is certainly now in North Carolina, and that is going to be part of the focus. We're shifting that focus from the fall to the spring. Most plant growth regulators around the world in canola are used in the spring rather than in the fall. However, I don't know of any that are targeting protection from late spring freezes. Most of them are targeting harvest uniformity and maturing uniformity in the sense that they're being used. So I do not know the answer to that question.
Will you be able to or willing to collaborate for any future studies?
Absolutely.
Your place of planting is September 8th through September 20th. Something gave more yield than August, late August, and September 1st, right? Because the oil content and protein content were wide versa, right? So if the canola is planted early on, do you think they can be harvested early? Because if producer gets his seeds or a seed, you know, to the buyer, they can't get the trail. Do you think that is a possibility by planting early?
So the question is, if you're planting earlier, is there opportunity to then harvest earlier, essentially so that you can be the first person standing in line at the elevator to get a premium for your crop? Yes, essentially. So what we've seen in this study was, usually we, you know, in that planting window of 4 weeks, we don't see a huge difference in maturity of that crop if you planted it all on the same site. But we did not harvest these sites all at one time. We harvested them as they were ready to be harvested. So certainly you see several days difference, but I don't think you see weeks difference. For example, if you plant 2 weeks earlier, you're not going to typically see 2 weeks earlier harvest. It really depends on what is happening from the time the plants green up in the spring to harvest time that makes a difference on when you're going to be able to harvest. There may be others in the room that can add value to that answer, But that's what we've seen in these studies, is that there wasn't really more than just a few days difference in harvest timing for those that were planted in a very wide window. And in Oklahoma, we always get to be the first people at the elevator to sell our crop, because it's the first crop that comes off in the U.S. This thing is really sensitive. Sorry, I'm breathing on you.